Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Countdown to Destiny. We have as our special guest today Congressman Mike Hill, former representative for District 1 in the state of Florida. We're delighted to have Congressman Hill with us today. Congressman, we're talking about just before the news break about the election and some of the fraud that's taking place and some of the things that's happening. You suggested, and I do suggest that also, I've always tried to vote on election day and not the pre-election day. In fact, I find it conflicts with the integrity of having an election day. And I'm looking at a headline and the article, and many may not be aware of this. I'd like to have your take on it. Federal elections end at midnight on election day. This article is written November 2nd, 2022. President-elect Donald Trump won the 2020 election. I watched every hearing and watched every credible video following the steal. Massive ballot dumps in the middle of the night. Hundreds of thousands between Georgia and Pennsylvania alone. Mail-in ballots not only accepted days after the federal election ends, but then counted days later. Counting all of the ballots put off until the next day. In Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, counting of ballots stopped at 1:30 a.m., didn't resume until the next morning at 10 a.m., Fulton County, Georgia. Counting stopped on November the 3rd due to a pipe bursting, supposedly, that had already been fixed, but the polling center was still operational. There are several videos clearly showing a woman putting a stack of ballots in and counting the counting machine 5 separate times, the same stack of ballots each time, all in violation of federal election law 522 U.S. Code 6771-72 is a 9-1 decision by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1997. The Supreme Court in 1997, including Ruth Bader Ginsburg, said, quote, "It's an election, and it seems to me being an election, it conflicts with federal law for it to be a single election day." Constitutional Attorney Wren Gender, November the 18th, 2020, election undecided by midnight. Any votes that are undecided by midnight are void and should be preempted by federal law. Quote, "Federal election day statutes were designed to curtail fraud and to infuse a prima facie scene of integrity in our election process. But these states, in failing to obey congressional deadlines, have flagrantly attempted to preempt federal law. This is certainly prohibited, and this is why the late election rules should be void. After a comprehensive analysis of the Constitution, federal and state statutes, the attorney writes, consider all the above in light of the 2020 presidential election in Pennsylvania today. 2 weeks after election day, 8,000 votes suddenly appeared, and in initial count, it still was not complete. Arizona has tens of thousands of ballots left to count and the initial canvassing. Georgia discovered an additional 2,600 missing votes as of the following day. An entire state is conducting a recount. Wisconsin just announced the details and the cost of the forthcoming election, et cetera, et cetera. Now, With that being said, I did not realize until that article that the Supreme Court ruled in 1997 that Election Day is election. Any ballots that's counted after midnight on Election Day should be considered null and void. What is your take on that? What is your response to that? Were you familiar with that? And how should we view it for this election?
Well, it's apparent, Dr. Youngblood, that we must follow the law. If the law states explicitly that votes are to be counted on Election Day and no other day, then if we go beyond midnight of that day, they should not be counted. Particularly when they are coming in as ballots in a truckload full, just showing up, and all of a sudden they have to be counted. If the law says you must stop on that day, then you must stop. That's why I believe it is so important that we get away from this method of voting by ballot, unless you are a deployed military member, or if it is documented that you are medically unable to get to the polls to vote. Then I believe that they should use a ballot. Otherwise, go to the polls on Election Day and vote that day. That way you are counted immediately. And I believe we should get away from these machines counting. It's been demonstrated numerous ways of how they can also be compromised. And I would like to go on to say, if I may, Dr. Youngblood, that I believe that is what happened recently in the elections in Brazil with the new president, the leftist communist president, saying that he won and that the current president is not conceding. And I believe he is not conceding because they know that the communist will cheat, that the left will cheat. And that's why we must get out and vote en masse on Election Day.
Absolutely. I'm in full agreement with that. In fact, I tell people I take my sample ballot where I've already filled out and completed, standing in line on Election Day, holding it up, reviewing it. And in each occasion, one, two, three, four, half a dozen, one occasion, nine people said, "May I see your ballot?" They had not reviewed, did not know how to vote, and looked at the ballot. I said, that gives me an opportunity to spread the information as to how we ought to vote. I've forgotten, Congressman, you might help my refresh my memory. I don't know if it's Nevada or Arizona. They've determined that they're going to count all the ballots by hand this time around and not going through the machines to do the counting. I think that is very wise in view of, I think it was Arizona, it may have been Nevada, but in view of the past in that state with what took place in 2020, I believe it's a wise decision they made to do the counting by hand to prevent there being. And even with that, I'm sure there'll be a challenge coming from the left as to the outcome. Let's switch gears for a moment. There's been some high-profile news about a so-called break-in in Paul Pelosi and Nancy Pelosi's home in San Francisco. I am concerned about the information and misinformation, but Paul Pelosi's home was broken into, supposedly, and yet all the pictures that I've seen and the narrative about it, the window that was broken into that supposedly gained entry, the glasses on the outside, on the inside and not on the, I'm sorry, on the outside, not on the inside of the door, which indicates the glass was broken from the inside out and not vice versa. But I'm also made to understand that it's a marijuana smoking nudist. He stands for BLM, Black Lives Matter. He's an advocate for the LGBTQ. He's living in a bus on the streets in San Francisco. And the call that went into the 911, Paul Pelosi said, "I'm here with my friend Dave," I think he called him, and he left the phone to be where it could be picked up and heard. When the police officers got there, they knocked on the door, and a third party, opened the door. They're not saying who that was. Do you have any sense of what's really taking place? Why is it so high profile? What are they trying to make this national scandal for? What is the purpose of that? What do you see behind the scenes?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, that is a very sad story because it is a stark picture of the immoral debauchery that we see going on in our society. It is such a shame that when that story broke, that, as you say, immediately it was given high profile attention, and those on the left immediately proclaimed that the attacker was a Trump supporter, a MAGA supporter, a right-wing extremist, when he was anything but that. And so I don't understand why they went on that tirade to try and paint this incident as something of an a right-wing extremist would do, when that's the furthest thing from the truth. And the story continues to have legs on it. As you say, Dr. Youngblood, who opened the door? A third party who was there, if you just question them, especially if they're under oath and they have to tell the truth, you'll know what the whole story is instead of all this speculation. You know, it's sad that Mr. Pelosi was injured, but so was the other person who was there. He was also admitted into the hospital. And so it really is a sad display of what we see going on in our society, in particular in places like San Francisco, Detroit, Chicago, Baltimore, these cities that are run by leftists and have been run by leftists for decades. The moral degeneracy that we see going on there because of their ideology. It is because of their left ways of thinking, which tends to exclude God from the equation. It tends to exclude the Bible from helping you make your decisions. And we see the results of it right now.
You're exactly right, Congressman. That's part and parcel of the whole picture. And I see a looming tool that's being used by the Pelosi's and the leftists, and that is simply to use this. And they made a high-profile case out of it. But this is the result of, and this is some of the words that's on the national media. This, they say, is the results of former President Trump and his rhetoric of wanting to hurt people. This is the results of threats that's going forth that you need to be careful that you're not even safe to go to the polls to vote now. And it's all predicated on the premise that this was a breaking and entering, et cetera, at 2:30 in the morning. Now, the little footnote that I add to that, Congressman, the Secret Service, the Capitol Police, and the San Francisco Police all have been part of the security for that home, along with mega, major, sophisticated, high-tech security cameras. And yet Nancy Pelosi is unwilling to produce. In fact, I'm looking at headlines says Pelosi refuses to hand over any home security footage. Another article says Pelosi won't release any home footage security. The Dems are demanding that the GOP take blame for the event. How can they be so perverted and so twisted to say that this is as a result of the grand old party, i.e. the Republicans, other than being to use it as a high-profile case to dissuade Christians, conservatives, and patriots from voting and to frighten Democrats into voting? I think that is the whole point of it. Hold your thoughts for a moment, then we'll go back to that. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
Mr. Hill, Dr. Youngblood. How are you guys doing today?
Great. I pray that you are.
Doing good. Well, I found myself in my bedroom at 2:30 a.m. with a hammer, and I thought about it, and I hit myself on the head. It came to me that the last time Paul Pelosi was involved in something there, he got into a car wreck, and there was minor damage, and then it went on to be, well, the car was totaled, and nobody else was hurt. Then it went on to be there was another vehicle involved, and it just kept on progressively getting worse, and I will congratulate the San Francisco Police Department for actually detaining a perpetrator of a crime for more than 24 hours. Isn't that a special?
That is an unusual special, yes. Congressman, how do you respond to our caller's insight on that?
Well, I'll tell you, Dr. Youngblood, I've read some articles, some incidences of where Mr. Pelosi himself visits these homosexual nightclubs that close at 2 a.m. in the morning, and that he left the nightclub with this attacker, went to his home, and there they got in some kind of scuffle. I've read articles about that. How true they are or not, I don't know. But it starts to paint this sinister picture of David Pelosi that is coming out, of him not being the type of person that would want to have a high profile, just a high profile, especially being married to the Speaker of the House. That in and of itself makes things that you do newsworthy. And the fact that she will not release the footage, it should be something that the police department demands to help solve a crime scene. They are charging this other gentleman who was involved with several felonies. And I think in order for him to defend himself, he would have to say, well, look at the video and you'll see. So even though she may not want to release it to the public, it is going to have to be released to make this trial if justice is going to be served at all. And again, well, Dr. Youngblood, it's just a sad state of affairs that we have someone of such a high profile who, and even at his age, I believe he's 82, seems to be living such a debauched lifestyle. It is a reflection of what we see on the left here in America today.
Absolutely. It gives us pause. In fact, it goes back to the Jim, are you still there?
Yeah, I wanted to add something else. I was just trying to be a smart aleck there when I first came out with that, but the representative is correct there. In a formal trial, there's a process called disclosure, and any evidence that will help defend, and exculpatory evidence there that will help defend either party there must be divulged, and you can end up being charged with contempt or have the trial. You know, I see this thing going away quietly with a non-disclosure agreement and a large sum of money being passed through hands. That's, you heard it here first from me, but I may be wrong. And maybe it'll blow up into something else.
I believe you're exactly right, Jim. Thank you so much for your call. Congressman,
thank you, gentlemen.
Switching gears for just a moment, if we fail to prevail in this election, what do you see the future for America? And I realize that I'm asking you to give it based on a secular viewpoint, not based on a biblical worldview, but notwithstanding God still being sovereign, what will we the people face? For example, more illegals crossing the border, 100% of the people being forced to take the jab in the arm with the COVID death jab. What do you see as the negative side of where we're headed in America if the conservatives and Christians and patriots do not get out in number to vote?
Dr. Youngblood, I shudder and tremble to think of what we would be facing if the church, if Republicans do not get out and vote en masse on Election Day. And the reason I say that is we have seen since this Biden regime has been installed, what has happened to our nation in such a short period of time? Runaway inflation. We see prices going up with everything from food to necessities to gas. We see our housing market in shambles right now. We see our borders in shambles and the illegals coming across and the drug cartels bringing in the fentanyl and all the deaths that is causing. We are seeing the destruction of justice in our nation since this Biden regime has come into office. Thank goodness, thank God that the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. And now we are seeing that abortion, the murder of preborn children in the womb, is now going back to the state level and an opportunity to stop it in many states, including in Florida and Georgia and other states. We see it happening. If Republicans and conservative Christians do not get out and vote, we are going to see an attack on that preborn child in the womb, and abortion could be worse in some states than it was before Roe v. Wade. So we don't have to speculate what it would look like in America if Republicans, if those on the right, if constitutional conservatives do not get elected. We're going to see more of what has happened in this nation in the past almost 2 years since this Biden cabal has come into office, and I think it would be accelerated and multiplied. So there is no option. There is no choice. You cannot sit home. You must go out and vote if you want to save this nation, not only for yourself, but for your children and your grandchildren.
Well spoken. In fact, one of the key elements that I find that is so frightening from the standpoint of the potentiality, we're finding now, I'm looking at an article that says YouTube will certify doctors before they can share any medical information. So we've devolved to the point in America that YouTube now is going to be the arbiter of what physicians, what medical establishments can say anything about medical care, and it's good or bad or indifferent. The article states YouTube announced that a new policy Thursday will allow healthcare information providers to be certified in an effort to combat misinformation and disinformation online. YouTube Health has been working on additional ways to help doctors, nurses, mental health professionals, and healthcare informational providers to bring high-quality health information into the spaces that people visit throughout the day. Certain medical professionals and health information providers will become eligible to apply for specific YouTube Health features, adding that users on the platform would be able to identify authoritative sources to more easily evaluate information on topics surrounding health, and it will prevent misinformation and disinformation. The article states YouTube announced guidelines amid a crackdown on all vaccine misinformation and disinformation. So now we've devolved to the position that healthcare workers has to go through the filter and the screening of YouTube in order to give out information. One of the nation's most famous, most credible cardiologists, Dr. Malone, has just been decertified, his medical license canceled as a result of him taking a stand against the COVID vaccinations. And I am petrified from the human standpoint that if we do not win this election to take control of the House and the Senate, at least those two branches of the federal government, if we do not do that, we're in for major, major, major devastation with our Bill of Rights, our freedom of religion, our freedom of speech, our right to keep and bear arms, and the freedom from invasion from the thugs with badges destroying our privacy rights. I see that as escalating and not diminishing. Congressman, hold for a moment. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. I'd like to ask Mike. Earlier in the week, I was listening to the radio, and they said that Pennsylvania had been prompted to examine their balloting rolls, and they'd found over 5% of the registered voters were deceased. They found one person who was born in 1850, but he's still an active voter. And I'd just like to ask Mike, what does he think about it? And also, you keep seeing this early voting. Every time the ballots are handled, doesn't that just leave more exposure for corruption?
Tom, absolutely. You're right. Every time that ballot changes hands, there is that potential of fraud occurring, of the ballot either being damaged or even being thrown away. Or, as we saw, and I believe it was in Georgia, ballots being counted many times. But you are absolutely right. Whenever any state tries to clean up his voter rolls, it is going to show a number of people who should not be voting in that state, either because they are dead or they have left the state or perhaps they have committed a felony and no longer eligible to vote. You'll find that in any state in large numbers. And what you'll find is, I know in Florida that at the time it was Governor Rick Scott was attempting to clean up Florida's voter rolls. And then, of course, the ACLU and those on the left filed a lawsuit to challenge. And they always find a court with a judge that will agree with them. And so, of course, that judge says, stop doing it. You can no longer do it. And Rick Scott, who in my mind was cowardly at the time, and said, well, that's it. And he stopped doing it. It needs to be picked up again. I believe that Governor DeSantis did pick it back up, trying to clean up our voter rolls. But, Tom, you're absolutely right. We have to clean up the voter rolls to make sure that the integrity of our elections are intact. And, again, I'll have to say it, Dr. Youngblood, if I know I'm beating this dead horse, but we must get out and vote en masse on November 8th. Do not sit home. I don't care if it's raining, the sun is shining, whatever is going on. You get out and vote on Election Day. If you have to stand in line to vote, do it. But vote on Election Day, November 8th, and vote for conservatives. Vote for those who are not on the left, usually the Democrat Party. Vote for those who are conservative, who stand up for our Constitution, who stand up for morality, who stand up for life of those in the womb.
Absolutely. Tom, you have any other questions or comments for the congressman?
No. Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, former representative for District 1 in the state of Florida, Florida House of Representatives. Congressman, got about another minute left on the broadcast, but simply suffice it to say, as Christians, we need to pray, we need to plan, we need to participate. Would you take the last moment on the air today and give a clear, concise, passionate challenge to our listeners to get out and vote and to pray and doing so and vote and vote? I say we need to vote soon and often like the Democrats, but I know that's said in pun. Share with our listeners a passionate thought as we close.
Dr. Youngblood, we must get out and vote. We must participate in our society. When the church does not participate in the society, then the left will not only fill that void, they will demand your participation in their debauched lifestyle, in their desire to covet what you have, which is nothing more than communism and socialism. We must get out and vote. We must participate in this this grand idea we have of letting people be free to worship God freely in spirit and in truth. Christians, get out and vote on November 8th. As if your life depended on it, and it does, and of your children and your grandchildren.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us today. And I second your thoughts. We need to pray. We need to plan. The next several days, we need to be praying and then involve ourselves in the vote. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.